Hi there, and welcome to this, the 24th episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Hi, I'm Dan Digman.
And hi, it's me, Jennifer Digman.
And we're A Couple Takes on MS. I'm walking.
And I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. And we are so excited and happy and honored and loving to be back here with you after a break. We were on a break.
And to be honest, this episode should be called A Couple Takes on COVID, because that's kind of what Dan and Jennifer Digman have been doing in the last month, I would say.
That's what's scary, is that the last episode we did, episode 23, was about MS and COVID. And what happened? Jennifer tested COVID positive.
I live another day. Yes. I'm a little raspy sounding, and that's just residual, I guess, but I don't know, Dan. How do we dive into this topic?
It was really scary. I mean, this is something we've talked about several times, inadvertently, indirectly, directly, and it just, how this happened, and we just, it really took us back, or took us aback, sidelined us, threw us into a tailspin, so to speak.
It was innocent enough. I wasn't feeling well, and fortunately, I had an appointment to see my primary doctor to have a physical, but again, I wasn't feeling well. So I called the doctor's office, and he said, let's do this appointment virtual. So we did the appointment, and doctor said, Jennifer, I think you might have COVID. Can you come down and have a COVID test? Fortunately, Mount Pleasant is a small enough town where I was like, sure, doc, I'll be there in 15 minutes. And his fantastic nurse came out in her little hazmat suit and fully masked. And she did a COVID test right there in the parking lot. And I also had a strep test, because doctor thought if it wasn't COVID, it was strep throat. And my caregiver, Jen, and I drove home. Our house is about 15 minutes away, like I said. And I told Jen, doctor's going to call, and I don't have any of these problems. And about 15 minutes later, Rachel called and said that I had tested COVID positive. So that was that. And that was blindsided, to steal the name of a very good book about multiple sclerosis. I was completely blindsided. And then Dan, how did you feel when you found out I had tested COVID positive?
It was a crap. This is something that you don't. We feared it. I mean, everybody fears it in this day and age. I think, just given the fact that with you taking the Rituxan for your MS and me taking my Ocrevus for my MS, that like totally makes us not as protected with the vaccines and everything. And so you always feared. But I mean, we were doing everything we could with the masks, with avoiding people, with not touching, with not hugging, and everything. And it's just like, it was very scary. I was scared for you, but then I was scared for me, because we know that if I get sick, I don't want to say we're screwed, but we're screwed.
Very much so. And it was, you know, as frightening as it was to find out I was COVID positive, I didn't want you to get sick, because I love you and you're my husband. And I knew that this was going to be an interesting experience. But selfishly, I didn't want you to get sick, because you are my caregiver and you are the only person on this earth, besides a few caregivers I've had a couple years ago, that can help transfer me. And I was thinking, crap, if Dan gets sick, we are in a bad way. So that was selfish on my part, but most importantly, I just didn't want you to get sick.
Well, and I think that was the big thing was that, so you tested COVID positive, and so then it was, what do we do? Where do we go? How do we remedy this? Fortunately for you, because of your MS, the drug you're taking, you were able to get urgently the monoclonal antibody infusion.
Correct. My doctor, my primary doctor and his nurse, they both know Dan sees the same doctor. They know our story and they know the medicines we take. And my doctor was very concerned. And his nurse, God bless her, she got on the phone as quickly as possible to see what local infusion center I could have monoclonal antibodies to help me fight off the COVID. And so Dan and I, bless him, he drove me 45 minutes away the next morning and we went to a hospital. That was an experience in and of itself. I've never been to jail and I've never been to prison. But if you test COVID positive and you're going for monoclonal antibodies, you prepare yourself for some seclusion and some isolation and a good, you know, good infusion. And because I have multiple sclerosis and I know so many in my community deal with the same problem, I can't just get an IV. They can't get me on the first poke. So 3 pokes later, I finally got a good vein and I had to sit down for 30 minutes. I mean, I sit down all the time. Isn't that it's ironic. I'm like, oh, I had to sit down for a 30-minute infusion, but I always sit down. But anyhow, I sat down for my infusion. And then when that was finished, I was completely by myself. They didn't even have a TV in the room. I was like in this little, what's the word I'm thinking of?
Like a cubicle.
Cubicle, thank you. It's just like office space or something. Except that I had no TV. I had no beverage, which sounds incredibly spoiled, which I kind of was thinking, I'm going to go, going to offer me a drink or something, and I'm going to get this infusion. But no, I was all by myself.
Well, that was the scariest, I think the scariest thing for me, that it's like we showed up in Midland at the hospital, and we went into the, because they had remodeled the hospital since we were there last. And so we started to go to the main entry form, and they were so freaked out when we set foot in there and we said, yeah, we're here for the monoclonal antibody infusion. Jennifer has COVID. It's like the world stopped right there with the infusion and everything. Just like totally stopped, and there's like no, you need to go over to wing 3. And that was like so desolate, and it was like a ghost town, because it was like you had to call in to say, hey, we're here, and then when they opened the door and let you in, and then they were just like, I couldn't go in with you. And that was like scary.
That was very scary, because you are my hands. Much like Jen, my caregiver, is my hands. I'm not able to do a lot. And so here's Dan walking with me. And the nurse says, first of all, we had to, this big metal door, and we had to call our way in, like Dan said. And then once I was buzzed in, the nurse was like, okay, you have to go, Dan. And I had my winter coat because it's Michigan and it was, of course, cold. And I thought, who's going to help me take off my coat? Who's going to help me do this? And the nurse said, don't worry, I'll take care of it. And she did. She was fantastic, I have to say, Nurse Brenda and Nurse Izzy. They were amazing. And so I wasn't completely alone, but they had their nurse business to do. And I just had to sit there. And but that was okay. And then once the antibodies were all infused, and I waited that hour to make sure I wasn't going to explode or whatever. Sorry, I wasn't exploding. I wasn't going to have a reaction. That's the proper way to say it. And once that was done, Dan and I got in the car. And fortunately, he had gone to Applebee's while I was getting my infusion. And we drove the 45 minutes home and had some lunch. And bless his heart, again, he got me some chicken fingers and chicken tenders. That's the right word. And we had lunch. And I felt like everything was okay. But boy.
Well, then we started talking about things, because that was like the most surreal thing. It's like you get whisked away by the nurse in the hazmat suit, and it's like, no, you can't go with her. So what am I going to do without my partner in crime? And so I went out to the van and I just sat there, and I called your family, because it's like, what do you do and how do you set the stage on this stuff? And that was the freaky thing then, is like, then we go through everything. And sitting in Applebee's, it was like such a relief when you finally texted to say that you were done with it, but you had to wait for that to happen. But then once we got home, had our leftovers, then it was the question of, what do we do from here? It's just like, so you're COVID positive. I'm doing okay. I can't get sick. And so then it was a question of, are we going to? So we basically then lived in our house, fully masked, socially distant. We never ate together, or at least, you know, we ate in shifts, so we each could be masked up. Mm-hmm. And then for the first time then in over 16 years of marriage, I slept in a separate bed. And yes. That was a very lonely thing, very scary thing, because there was nothing I could do. You know, we just, I tucked you in bed. I mean, we brushed our teeth in shifts. I mean, and granted, I still was transferring you, but I mean, we're fully masked and just staying as far away as we could within reason.
Absolutely. And just you were sleeping in the separate room. And we were masked the whole time. And not to be dramatic, I like almost cried the first time after 10 days, because that's exactly how long Dan and I slept in separate rooms and were fully masked. But after those 10 days, I almost teared up when I saw your handsome face. And because I couldn't see anything, like I could see your eyes, but I couldn't see your mouth. And so that was, you know, I lost my sense of taste and my smell. And this reminds me, my COVID experience reminds me very much, for those of us out there living with multiple sclerosis, we all have a diagnosis story. And it's not that we love to tell it, but it's important. And we always think our diagnosis story is the worst or the most dramatic. And I tend to be a little on the dramatic side, in case you've never noticed. But I went and got my hair cut about 3 weeks after I was done with COVID, if you can say that. And I was telling my hairstylist in a dramatic way about my COVID experience. And she just smiles at me. She's like, oh yeah, me and my family, we had COVID about 4 weeks ago. I'm like, where's your drama? Where's your monoclonal antibody story? Where's your losing your sense of smell and taste? And just, but she did in fact lose smell and taste. But it's just funny that everyone has to tell their story, and maybe some people don't. Maybe that's the flair of those of us living with multiple sclerosis. We need to share our story.
But I also think, does it make it different? Obviously, if it, just because you have MS, I mean, that in and of itself is a big deal. But when you're living with MS and you're taking disease-modifying therapies that weaken your immune system or weaken your response to the vaccinations, you're not as protected from the virus as you would as the rest of the population is. And so that just totally makes it an entirely different thing altogether. And I think too, because when you, as somebody living with MS, you are COVID positive and you have a caregiver who also has the disease and also takes, you know, the drug that weakens or messes up his immune system to where he's not as protected with the vaccination. I mean, there's a lot more writing on it, and that's me being dramatic, but I mean, that's just the implications of the fear of what could happen.
What could happen, and fortunately you didn't get sick, and I'm so thankful that that didn't happen. But ironically, my caregiver, Jen, the one that I told, oh, I'm not going to have anything wrong, the one that was in the van with me when I got my COVID test, she found out she was COVID positive maybe 2 days, 3 days after I was diagnosed. And so it's a sticky little illness. And she got sick and she had to isolate herself, and that was unfortunate. And I feel like I'm Typhoid Mary passing COVID. And so I felt really bad, but as long as you, Dan, don't get sick, we are doing fantastic.
Well, I think that was the thing that when it was determined, or, you know, we found out that she had tested positive, which apparently lots of people do, which, okay, great. But then they're saying that, you know, she could come and take care of you because, you know, two wrongs, I mean, you're just not going to infect anybody. But then it was just like, for me, thinking, that's two on one. I mean, the both of you are infected and I'm not. And so it's like, how do we protect ourselves? And so fortunately, it seems we did a good job. I mean, I didn't get COVID. And so that's always good. But it is always a question then of like, when is it done? When are you fully done with COVID? When can we take off our masks so you could be in tears because you can see my face for the first time in 10 days?
Well, that was what our eyes on the prize. And that was Dan's state when he and I were dating. He would always say, if I would question him, how could you make that 2-hour drive? And he would say, eyes on the prize. Well, we looked at a calendar after my COVID diagnosis, to be all dramatic, and said, okay, we have to wait 10 days. And when that 10 days were up, we felt comfortable to take off our masks, to eat together, to sleep together, and just to be a normal couple. But I'm still, you can hear a little residual, like, cough, and I'm still kind of tired. I've been back to my exercise class. I'm occasionally using my standing frame. I think that I'm good. I haven't seen my doctor. I don't want to be dramatic, which is surprising, but I just want to say, okay, this COVID is done, and I'm going to hope to God that I don't get it again, and I'm going to be safe, and if no one else is wearing a mask, forgive me if I'm going to wear a mask, because I know what I dealt with and what you didn't, thank God, have to deal with, and I don't want you to deal with that, so I'm going to be better safe than sorry.
Well, that is the big thing, is just how do we protect ourselves, how do we keep ourselves safe and everything, and now, as they're talking about more and more places lifting mask mandates, and obviously COVID numbers are going down, and that's a great thing, great development and everything, but I'm still not fully there yet to be able to just run around without a mask, without it, you know, just...
Yeah, you're not fully confident or comfortable, and it's ironic that the Queen of England... She finds out she tests COVID positive, and what, 2 days later, Boris Johnson said, we could take off our masks. And I mean, for heaven's sakes, we made it, what was that, 12, 18, 20 months
right
of having COVID, and then I get COVID? Huh? I mean, that's a skill. Good job, Jen. You
well
get
done.
This. Yeah, well done. And so, I mean, it's just the reality, Dan. We're doing this podcast and it's just you and me because our podcast producer, Ryan, we don't want him here. And honestly, it's still, it's so fresh that if my nose is running or if your nose is running, I'm thinking, uh-oh, I hope we don't have COVID again. Or Ryan and his family is dealing with, you know, like colds, and they want to be uber careful. And so it's not, I really feel like we're going to have some post-traumatic stress after COVID. And that's, I'm not kidding or being on, you know, I know that people are going to have some repercussions and some lasting effects of what we've gone through for the last 2 years.
And that's where we were fortunate with everything that we dealt with. I mean, it wasn't comfortable. I mean, that was the whole thing. It was not ideal, and it was challenging in a lot of the what ifs and how do we overcome this and fears and how do we protect ourselves. And I mean, this could be like a couple takes on MS come lately to the whole COVID party, but it's just like these were realities that, you know, you feared but just never expected that actually would come to fruition.
And it's, you know, over those 10 days, 2 weeks that I was dealing with COVID, you went through a box of gloves as my caregiver. taking care of me. We went through a ton of hand soap and
the Kleenex, the masks.
The masks and the vitamin C tablets. And we really tried to be careful, and, you know, we survived, which is good. But I'm going to say confidently, I don't know if I would have survived as well had I not had my vaccination. And, you know, that there is kind of something that I feel pretty comfortable to say. You know, I take a medication that just depletes my, you know, my antibodies. And yet I had a vaccine, and I think that really helped me, and I think that helped you.
Totally.
So, and not to get on a soapbox, but, you know, if you can have shots and have boosters, do it. And hopefully this will be, I've said how many years now, what, this is the third spring where I'm like, maybe after spring it will go away. But I really believe that after this spring, fingers crossed.
I was going to say, as long as there's no new variants, and this is, you know, we don't have the science or anything, it's just our figuring, my calculations. It's like, if there's no new variant, I think that we at least have some levels of things under control to a point. I mean, it's still scary and there's still a lot of unknowns. But we are very fortunate, and that's where, you know, that we had our probably month hiatus of our podcast. But I mean, there's just things you got to get over with the COVID, with the dealing with things, and with that which set you back on everything else you had going on in your life. We just had to pause.
We were just on a break.
We were on a break. And speaking of that, we will take a break and we will be back with our moments of joy.
Break's over. And we're going to talk about our moments of joy. And it's been a few weeks, and it's been a few dark weeks at Casa Digman. So our moments of joy, I think we're going to kick it off with Dan. Why don't you give us a shot?
Why, thank you. My moment of joy is for Christmas. We, from some people we do some work with, got a free year with Calm, the app. And my moment of joy is Jennifer, I was calling my buddy Jay, because Jay Shetty, and I love his podcast and everything, and I enjoy him, but he has something on Calm for, it's like in the Daily Jay, and it's just like 7 minutes of Jay Shetty and talking, and it's just like a way to relax and stuff. I have, and you know this, Jennifer, I have sometimes most difficult time falling asleep, getting myself, clearing my head and stuff. But I've realized that Jay Shetty with the, you know,
the mom, yeah.
It just totally, totally, totally relaxes me and just like, just chill, just calm. I mean, and just that I've discovered that. And I mean, truly, I truly didn't start really utilizing that until you with your COVID and we were sleeping in separate bedrooms, and I just, there was a lot on my mind. And so how do I clear my head with that, with work, with everything, and just that moment of joy and just being able to find that thing, that which calms me, relaxes me, so I can sleep with a voice that's familiar to me. And I enjoy Jay Shetty, and we'll have a link and everything to that.
And that's a pretty huge endorsement, because when Dan and I were dating, we've been married going on 17 years. When we were dating, I bought you Sleepy Time Tea.
Yes.
Because you couldn't sleep. I remember we have a local grocery store that Dan would go grocery shopping at like 2 in the morning because he couldn't sleep. And I was so worried about this cute boy I was dating. So I bought you Sleepy Time Tea. And I brought it up here to Mount Pleasant, like, Dan, maybe this will help. And, you know, and that has been a problem that's plagued our marriage at times. You can't shut off your brain, but Jay helps you. And he helps me. And just, I've never really had a problem sleeping. But if I listen to him and I do the breathing and I am out by the time he introduces the topic of the show.
Absolutely.
And so that's a good moment of joy.
That is my moment of joy, that I've discovered that in something that I enjoy listening to his podcasts anyway, but then to have that, and it's condensed into 7 minutes. So it's not a huge commitment. And so that's my moment of joy. How about you, Jenny D?
My moment of joy, Dan shares it with me. Our friends Adam and Erica ask us to watch their dog for the weekend, and so we puppy sat, and it's Breslin, that's the beautiful dog's name, is not a puppy. She's 10 years old, but we watched her, and she was such a good girl, and it was so fun going on walks around the neighborhood with her and my caregiver Jen. And there's just nothing happier, I mean, literally, than a dog when they get to go out for a walk. And you just prance around the neighborhood just because you're with a dog. And it was freezing cold, 22 degrees. Trust me, I checked it out. But it was so much fun. And then she slept in our bed with us. And, you know, just to make a puppy, a dog so happy.
A big puppy.
It was really fun, and so I appreciate Adam and Erica letting us dog sit for them, and just, that was a really fun experience. So it was like several moments of joy wrapped in a weekend.
It was really cool. She was good this weekend.
Yeah.
So, very good. Well, thank you everybody for taking the time to listen to us today, and we promise we will be back on a regularly scheduled everything every other week.
With Ryan.
With our podcast producer, Ryan, will return, and we will be full steam ahead on this. So we're looking forward to that. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode of A Couple Takes on MS. I'm walking.
And I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. We hope you enjoyed our podcast, and please tell others about it.
Be sure to subscribe today and share your review to let us know how we're doing and what you want us to talk about on future episodes.
And if you have something to contribute to the episode, questions, comments, concerns, you can email me, Ryan. The producer is actomspodcast@gmail.com.
And you can follow us on our blog, acoupletakesonms.com, or on Twitter @CoupleTakesOnMS. Until next time, take care and keep moving forward.